Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. Joining me today is Canadian rugby legend Al Charron. Al captained Team Canada 25 times and played 76 international matches, more than any other Canadian player. He retired from rugby in 2003, but his legacy continues to help grow the sport. He's a Canadian Rugby Ambassador for Rugby Canada, and in September 2017, the Al Charron Rugby Canada National Training Centre is set to open. Al, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the great and very well-deserved honour of having the centre named after you. Can you tell me how the project came together?
Well, we certainly needed a facility out in Langford that complemented our athletes to allow them to reach their potential. We have a great facility out in Langford that was provided by the city there. The mayor, Stu Young, is just an unbelievable person, and he saw an opportunity for a national sports organization or sports organization to go in there. And luckily enough, it was Rugby Canada that got a chance to go there. And the facility there was great, except for the fact that the gym itself, where the athletes were training, wasn't ideal. And a lot of them were training in different areas around Victoria. Langford's just outside of Victoria. And this complex is now being built, and as you say, ready for 2017. Will certainly complement the athletes that much better. It'll be a great facility with a weight room and rooms for like team meetings. There'll be some rooms set up for players who come in from out of town. There'll be a physio. It's just a first class organization, establishment, I should say. And it's the players are really looking forward to it, and it's going to be fantastic for our present players, but certainly the future players for years to come, and certainly for their family and friends to see that that we have a sport that takes itself seriously. We have a complex. There's not a lot of national sports organizations that have a facility like this and a home, so to speak, in Langford. So really looking forward to seeing it completed and certainly our athletes benefiting from it.
What does it mean to you that it's named after you?
Well, listen, it is an unbelievable honor. I'm very proud of it, but it's not the most important thing for me. It's very humbling, but the most important thing for me is that we're taking steps in this country to really make rugby a prominent sport. We have some great athletes that play for our country, both men and women. Certainly our women are proving themselves on the world stage right now with their world rankings and doing so well in 7th and 15th. But it's very hard to compete with the rest of the world. And I look at that in the men's category. We can be a lot better. We have some great athletes, but we're up against it when we're playing other countries. Their experience in playing rugby and the facilities that they have is that much more keen to where the sport stands in their countries. And we can't compete with having a professional league at this point. We're certainly looking to make professional rugby a reality down the road. But right now, rugby is not as popular as it should be in this country, and it could be. And certainly this allows our athletes to train better, be together as a team, and have a facility that will allow that. And, that's the biggest thing. And certainly, in terms of having them, named after me, it could have been named after so many great Canadian players before me, and certainly after my time. So it's a very big honor, and I'm very humbled by it, like I said, and it's certainly something that's big for my family.
Well, you mentioned the Canadian women's rugby team doing well in particular. How did it feel to you to see them win bronze in Rio at the Olympics?
Well, it was fantastic. I think, I don't think women's rugby has gotten enough respect over the years. And certainly the players that have come before, the current players have done, great work and not gotten a lot of recognition. And what you're seeing right now is a lot of women taking advantage of the fact that of the women that came before them. And, obviously those women are very proud of what they did. And as are the men, I think it's great anytime you see an athlete or a Canadian team do well in whatever sport, and certainly a sport that I'm very passionate about. It was fantastic to see them, and I'm a little envious of the fact that they got to go to the Olympics, but I'm unbelievably proud of them. And you know, though they got bronze, they're quite capable of getting gold, and certainly that's what they're striving for the next Olympics, and certainly within their reach to do so.
Well, I mean, in addition to the center, you're involved in many ways with the sport. Can you talk to me a bit about your work with the National Player Support Program and also Rowan's Law?
You know, I've always been involved with rugby since I retired. I was doing some volunteer work, and then the CEO at the time, Graham Brown, asked me to start doing some work with the alumni and try to bring them back into the fold. Some guys and girls were really not connected with the sport anymore, so I did a bit of a reach out and trying to bring them back in and have them attend games. And you know, I did various things in that role. And I did that on the side as I was working in my current job at the time for Modus. He then asked me the following year if I could expand my role. And I said, well, I was a little stretched at that point, I had a young family, and I really couldn't do any more at that point. You know, they've always offered me a job, but it would actually mean moving to Toronto or moving out west, and I wasn't prepared to do that. Ottawa was home, and he then said, well, listen, if we made it so you could work from home but just travel a little bit, would that be a possibility? And so that's where it came about, and then I started doing some fundraising, which was the National Player Support Program, and I was just trying to raise money for our athletes, both men and women, to just complement the athlete stipends that they were getting as Canadian athletes. And and then not only those athletes, but some of the other athletes that weren't getting athlete assistance from Sport Canada. And that, you know, just trying to go out there and meet people and try to generate some funds and some support. And, you know, that, you know, it's kind of expanded to different roles. And, you know, it's very enjoyable to get back into the sport, and certainly to connect with some of my old teammates, and certainly players of today as well. So very happy to be involved and to be helping out in whatever way I can. In regards to Rowan's Law, obviously it's a tragic story, but her parents, Kathleen and Gord, have, you know, really taken concussions and the issues with it to the forefront. And I haven't done a whole lot. In that effect, I've just lent my support where needed. And you know, those are two special people that have been championing a great cause in making people aware of the dangers of concussions and you know, what the signs are and what's preventable, and certainly to make people aware that when you're suffering from symptoms from concussions, that you know, you need to stand down and get proper rest. So they're two fantastic people that I've gotten to know, and just some other people associated with it, with the Rowan's Law. It's, you know, it's very impressive of what they've done in such a short period of time. And you know, I can't take credit for that. I'm happy to support where I can, but the people who have been behind it, the Barrhaven Scottish Rugby Club, which was Rowan's club affiliation, have been very involved as well. And so yeah, it's something that was needed. Certainly concussions are something that's very prevalent in the media right now and in the public eye, and Rowan's Law has certainly brought that to the forefront.
And just for anyone listening who isn't familiar, it's the high school rugby player, Rowan Stringer, who died tragically of a concussion. So Rowan's Law is to help ensure better awareness and treatment for concussion-related injuries in Ontario. Well, that's great work, Al. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask you, because, I mean, even from this interview, it comes across your humility, and you're known for it. Rugby is often called a beastly game played by gentlemen, and I think you really personify that. I just want to read you a quote from Rugby Canada director Gareth Reese, who calls, or referring to your play, he says, "It's the unheralded work that makes other people look good." So given all that, what does it mean to you that rugby continues to be played in this spirit of camaraderie and gentlemanliness?
Well, you know, I'm very fortunate to have, to have found the sport of rugby. Certainly growing up, hockey and football and baseball and basketball were the sports that I gravitated towards, and generally was for the most part was hockey. But you know, finding rugby was a sport that really I fell in love with, and you know, as great as the sport is, and there's so many great benefits that you get back from it, just the people that you meet, the places I've gone to see. But you know, the biggest thing really is the people. There's just so many great people associated with the sport of rugby, and you know, it's the relationships I've made, you know, and the friends I've made, you know, some people and very high profile people, and other people are just your average Joe. And it's just, you know, it's your average Joe who's just an unbelievably great person who volunteers their time and gives back to the sport. And is just a, you know, a typical, great person. And, you know, I was going to say typical great Canadian, but it's not just Canadians that are great people in the rugby community. It's, you go anywhere around the world, you just run into these people, and you go, you know, it's almost you think someone's playing a joke on you how great these people are. And you know, it's the often common repeated story that people say, you know, you could travel around the world for whether you're on a world tour or you're on business, and you end up in some remote area. If you bring your rugby boots and you go down to the local club, you'll be able to find a game, and you'll be able to find friends and their friends for life. And you know, the beauty of having social media and internet is, you know, that you still can stay connected with a lot of the players that you've played with across the country and across the world. And obviously I'm very biased about rugby, and people can say that a lot about their sport and how great it is, but I also come across a lot of people who never played rugby, who had friends or family members who did. And the often repeated comment is, I wish I had played rugby. And the biggest thing, and I think I mentioned to you before, Amanda, was my father never played rugby. He came into starting to follow it when I played. And you know, I think that was one of the biggest thing that he noticed about the sport, was just, you know, how great the people were. And that's what really attracted my father to the sport and to the people. And that was one of the big things that I took away from my father's enjoyment from the game, and certainly I believed the same thing as he did. So I was very thrilled for him to be able to come and watch me play rugby and play for my country, but that he was enjoying himself so much in the stands and before and after the games with the people who are, for the most part, sometimes strangers to him, who became friends, it was pretty impressive.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and for all that you do to promote the sport and Canadian rugby. And I just wanted to add that we're going to have to update that quote to be a beastly game played by gentlemen and gentlewomen after the rise of Canadian rugby women players and rugby women players around the world. So thank you so much for all that you do, Al. And anyone wanting to learn more can visit rugbycanada.ca.
Thank you very much, Amanda.